glances as the Baron continued.
He could do with a hand. Yes, you two women and the old man can help there.
Okay. I might be able to help more than you think. It depends on what we find.
They were soon to know.
This is what we're up against.
Hector shrugged helplessly.
I've seen most of the things people catch around here, and just about every type of clap that there is.
He grinned sheepishly when Christy looked at him questioningly.
Hell, this is a Tradersville, with too many gaudies for its own good sometimes. But anyway, that's nothing to do with this. I'm sure of that.
Mildred, Christy, and Doc were standing in the middle of the large one-room shack that was the Ville's medical facility. There were 20 beds lined 10 to each side. The healer, a thin, stooped man named Hector Murray, stood beside them. His face was drawn with worry, lined with too many sleepless nights. Large, limpid blue eyes held their gaze steadily, and he had a habit of distractedly running one hand through his thinning hair while the other stayed firmly in his jacket pocket. He reminded Mildred of interns she'd known in her old pre-dark life, and she liked him instantly. He had acquired enough knowledge and traded enough med supplies to cope with the general run of problems in a Ville like this, but he was obviously baffled by something that he'd never come across before.
How long since this started?
Mildred moved to check some of the patients. There were 16 in the shack, and two of them were victims of fights from which they'd come off worse, nursing broken bones and lacerations. But the other 14...
Only a couple of weeks since the first signs.
And this girl?
She was the first. And she looks to be the most advanced. It follows a pattern that you'd expect.
Which is...
Well, Christy, it starts like they've got some kind of cough, so you give them the usual, but it doesn't clear up. Then they have a day or so of shitting, and that goes. Eyes run for the first couple of days, that's all. Then they get these spots, kind of like when you see that old chicken pox. Don't get that often, but it's kind of like that. They get the fever, too.
But the spots do not clear, obviously.
Doc examined a sleeping man who was covered in the small blisters, red at the puckered edges of the liquid-filled sacks. Doc was a doctor of philosophy rather than medicine, but he was also a man from another time, and he had a creeping feeling that he knew what was happening here.
No, they don't. They start to open and weep, then form a crust around the edge. I try to keep them clean within reason, but I can't risk infecting the already open...
No, you're doing right to leave them. There's not much you can do about them once they start. Tell me, have you lost any yet?
You mean I'm going to?
Mildred paused before answering. She couldn't be sure and didn't want to commit herself before she'd had a chance to... To what? What else could she do here but observe?
I guess that answers my question. You know what this is, then?
Not exactly.
Then I wish you'd share some ideas, Mildred, because I've never seen anything like this before.
I think I may have. Mayhap we should talk outside.
Okay, old man.
Hector led them to his living quarters. It was a single-room shack, untidy and indicative of little time spent there other than to sleep. He offered them seating, and all sat except Doc, who stayed upright, agitated.
Ideas, Doc?
I cannot be certain, Dr. Wyeth. I saw something like this once before, but I was given to understand that it had been eradicated by the White Coats long before the nuke cost.
You're thinking along similar lines, then?
Doc raised an eyebrow.
It was during my youth that it was finally killed off around the world.
Typical White Coat arrogance.
I'll agree with that, Doc. However, this looks like a variant strain, and we don't have a vaccine or the time and facilities to search for one.
Then we have no paddle, and we are against the fecal tide, as it were.
Excuse me, but remember, I don't have the faintest idea what the hell you're talking about.
Me neither.
For a moment, Mildred and Doc just stared at them.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course you'd have no idea. It was way before your time.
What do you mean?
No time to explain. You'll just have to believe us.
Okay, I don't have any choice anyway, right? I've got no idea what that disease is, and you do.
Okay, just trust us on this. Before the nuke cost, there was a disease that wiped out entire populations. It was a virus that was transmitted through contact, and it had symptoms very similar to these. They managed to eradicate it, and I've never heard of anything quite like it occurring during our travels. But this looks a lot like it. It's fast, nasty, and fatal.
What can we do about it?
Without a vaccine or antidote, and not knowing anyway if this strain has mutated in any way? Shit, There isn't anything that we can do.
Fuck! What is this thing?
They used to call it smallpox.
Over the next few days, while Mildred, Doc, and Christy set to work trying to contain the disease's outbreak and avoid spreading panic, Dean and Jack set to work on the small patches of cultivated scrub that were on the Ville's outskirts. The stunted vegetables and fruits were stored and dried as reserve stock and used to ferment the alcohol that was sold in the Ville's bars. The rich loam should have yielded strong, healthy crops, but there had been some kind of genetic mutation, and farming was difficult. It was the time of year when the soil had to be tilled and the next year's crop sown. It was hard work. The farm crew had allotted Jack and Dean a horse and plow, along with seed. There was little chance for them to get to know their fellow workers. Only a handful of the Ville's inhabitants worked on the farmland, and those who did were spread about the fields, too far apart to converse. So the boys had to prove themselves by the evidence of their work.
"Dis not good."
Jack patted the bony flanks of the horse they'd been given. The creature looked old and seemed to be mostly bone and skin and little muscle. The pitted and scarred, time-rusted plow they had to attach to the beast seemed too heavy for the thing to manage. Dean looked at the expansive field they had to till.
"Well, we've got to get it done, Jack, so we'll just have to work out a way."
They harnessed the horse, and Jack went to the head and began to lead. The plow stuck in the rich, thick soil. It began to turn, but was so damp and firm that the plow became bogged down, stuck in the grip of the earth.
"Come on now, old Betsy."
At Jack's encouragement, the creature began pulling harder against the earth's resistance. Dean followed behind, scattering the seed into the earth before it began to close again.
"Hot pipe! Hey, Jack, come here!"
"What?"
"The trench you just dug. It's already gone. Have you ever seen anything like that?"
"No, like it living. No wonder horse found it hard."
"Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I don't reckon that poor thing will be able to get the whole field done."
Jack looked at the already tired and weak beast, then at the expansive field they hadn't yet covered. He shook his head.
"Only one way."
And so the farmhands in neighboring fields, who'd deliberately given the young man the weakest horse as a trial, stopped and watched in amazement as Jack harnessed himself to the plow alongside the horse and began to help drag it across the field, cutting a furrow that Dean followed, sowing the seeds as he went. About halfway across the field, the two young men changed places to share the work evenly. Jack followed the plow as Dean helped to pull. When they had finished the field, they found that the other farmhands had come across to watch them. Dean unharnessed himself and fixed them with a glare.
"Next time you want to palm us off with a dud, we'll kick your asses." "Fuckers."
"Everyone gets the old nag. Just means you become one of us."
"Everybody have broken backs?"
Dean wasn't sure if Jack had been joking or serious, but it had the desired result. They were surrounded by farmhands, clapping them on their aching backs in displays of camaraderie. They'd proven themselves to their new compatriots, which was always a vital part of survival in the Deathlands.
"Yeah, we ain't had much in the way of trouble down here for a while. No big convoys going through, kind of preferred quiet anyway. But then no one's getting any jack. I suppose you take your choice over which is best, right?"
The fat sec chief, Yardy, scratched his crotch and hitched up his pants, waiting for an answer.
Yeah, sure.
Ryan and JB had been assigned to assist the bar sec on their nightly shift. The detail was a group of heavily armed sec men who also had unarmed combat skills and were used to police the bars and gaudies. Their task was to stop trouble early without alienating the traders by wrecking their crews. Otherwise, they may not pass through again. With no convoys in town at present, it had been quiet for the past few nights, and the fat sec chief of this area had been telling them stories about the main drag, stories in which he was mostly the hero.
"The trouble is, all we get are horny men who just want to hit on any woman. They can do most what they like to the gaudy sluts, but when they get it wrong, see, there's this weird bunch of women live somewhere hereabouts, never can trail them, and when they come into trade, they always get hit on. Tiny, hardly no clothes, but real mean. I like to look after them because they shouldn't be treated like that, you know. Yeah, I had to chill a couple of mechanics once. Just the one shot, clean through both of them. Yeah. But then I seen one of them, this little bitty red-haired thing. I mean, I'd have crushed her if